Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's episode of the podcast. I know you're going to love this one because I love it. You love it. And we're here to bring more life into your love and more love into your life, right? So I have with me today, my friend and colleague, Jamie Bronstein, who is a social worker, and she's written a book called Manifesting. And Jamie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm happy that you're here. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk today about attracting the kind of love that you deserve. And you deserve it because you are an amazing human being. And remember, like I always tell you, there is the lid to your pot, right? Your pot is adorable or handsome. It's complete as it is. And that lid is going to make it just a little bit nicer. But we want to find a lid that actually fits your cute pot the right way. So, Jamie, let's talk about from your vantage point, what are some of the steps to manifesting love for anybody who's out there, man or woman? What do we do?
Okay. So it sounds cliche, but this is the first chapter in my book. You know, people always say you have to love yourself before you find a person. However, here's the reason why. So you need to unconditionally love yourself because I personally believe in the law of attraction. My book is called Manifesting. So why do we do that? And what does it mean? We need to love ourselves unconditionally so that we can attract our perfect match. So when we love ourselves unconditionally, we've forgiven ourselves. We've forgiven other people. We've healed. So we're showing up not with the unresolved issues or any type of trauma. Now, of course, there's big T, little T. There's always healing to be done in life. But what I tell my clients is, at least get to the point where you can show up as your authentic self. It's not going to be perfect, but that is the first step. If we have any questions or discussions about that, we can talk about that or move on to some other things.
I have a question. I mean, I can tell you, like, even with myself, I try to be more graceful. You know, I don't know. How do we unwire the conditions we have on ourselves, right? It's like, I love myself if I eat the meals that I quote unquote should have. And if I didn't, I'll berate myself. If I didn't work out the way I should, or if I didn't accomplish the things on my list, and I can wake up at 3 a.m. and kind of go, oh my God, could have, would have, should have. I am just not great at anything right now. And so how do you, Jamie, how do you stop that? When you say love yourself unconditionally, shit, how do you do that?
Okay, so I have an answer. So it's called compassionate self-forgiveness. And the way you do that is you say, I forgive myself for buying into the misbelief that I'm incapable of love, or I'm unworthy of love, or I'm so stupid for eating that donut, whatever it is, okay? And then you ask yourself, and this is what I do with my clients. I would then prompt and ask them, what is the truth? And then, but you can also do this just on your own. Well, the truth is I am capable of love. I am worthy of love. Now, what I also say to my clients is you can fake it till you make it. You don't have to believe that 100%, and that's okay. But the more that our words are powerful, the more that you say that and claim it, the more that you will embody it, because it is the truth. So if someone, because of their childhood, because of their experiences and their past relationships that were negative, has a certain negative narrative, which is, just use the example, I'm unlovable or incapable of love or unworthy of love, that is just not the truth. So it's about getting back to the truth, and it is a practice. And so I tell my clients, any type of negative narrative that comes into their mind. They could be standing in line at Starbucks. When it comes in, you do that. Okay, well, what is the truth? What is the truth? You got to catch it. It's like the Pavlov's dog. You got to catch it right there. And it's a little CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. It's like you just got to change it in the moment. And the more that you do that, the more that you will actually embody this love for yourself.
So if I ate the donut, now what do I do? If I'm your client, okay, I need to love myself unconditionally to manifest the lid to my pot. Tell me, how do we get from A to B to C?
Okay, so let's pretend you're actually my client right now and you ate the donut. So what is the misbelief that you're buying into about yourself because you ate the donut?
I'm undisciplined. I can't follow directions. Whatever.
Okay. So what I would say is put your hand on your heart. Take a moment. Okay. So you close your eyes, you put your hand on your heart, and you say, I forgive myself for buying into the misbelief that I am undisciplined.
I forgive myself for buying into the misbelief that I'm undisciplined.
What is the truth about who you are?
The truth is, I am disciplined, or what am I supposed to say?
Well, here's the thing. It's about tapping into your soul. This is who you were. This is that beautiful soul that you came to this earth as before you heard all these messages or believed them. So you would say, I am doing the best I can. I made a mistake because I'm human. I'm going to do better. And I deserve love, even though I ate that effing donut.
Okay, got it. Like, I'm a work in progress and I'm not supposed to be perfectly disciplined, and it's okay to make mistakes. This is how you respond to that query. Like, you forgive yourself, but then what? Like, I'm looking for the roadmap here.
Yeah. So you forgive yourself, and then we don't stay in the past. We move on. That's what healing is all about. So psychodynamic work is very Freud. It's very past. You stay there. It's very old school. What we do now, I'm a trained therapist. However, I'm more of a coach now because yes, we visit the past, but then we say, now what? Okay. So now what? Okay, so I've acknowledged maybe I have a discipline problem. Maybe I have a problem believing that I'm worthy of love or capable of love. What am I going to do about it? What is in my control? So many things are out of our control in this world. What is in my control? I can love myself. And actually, I tell my clients that you need to threaten yourself, which sounds funny.
I love that.
Okay, this is the threat. If I don't love myself and show up as my authentic self, I'm not going to find the right match for me. Because if anybody's listening or watching, reflects on your past, you'll see that the people that have shown up romantically and also in your life in general were a reflection of how you were showing up with unresolved issues, healing needed to be done, etc. So this is so life-changing that when we make this shift and we become aware of this power, it's very empowering. Because a lot of people feel like they're hopeless, they're in victim mode, they're victims of their past. And just one more thing I want to say that's really important with this is that the universe gives us what we focus on. So if you are focused on being a victim, the universe will just validate that and bring you more reasons to be a victim. If you were cheated on, well, I'm going to be cheated on again. That will become a self-fulfilling prophecy and it could happen again. Versus, I'm going to focus on trusting the universe, trusting myself that I will bring in that person that is right for me. God damn it, it's going to happen. No, not with anger,
Exactly.
with love.
It's okay if you swear every now and then. We're all good with that.
Got
Swear at
it.
yourself. I swear at myself all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Swearing's okay. But
Oh,
you understand what I'm saying.
I do. I do. Okay. So if you're not, none of us are perfect. And I think what I'm hearing here for you, dear listener, is I'm just like you, right? We're all the same. We want to love ourselves unconditionally, but we put all these conditions on ourselves on a daily basis because we feel like we should and we have to do these things. And when you find yourself doing that, Put your hand on your heart and forgive yourself and say, I forgive you for expecting to be perfect, right?
Here's the interesting thing. The irony is that at the times that we are the most hard on ourselves and the most unkind to ourselves, that is the time that we need to shut it down and say, I'm going to love myself even more in this moment.
That's perfect. That's perfect. And it sometimes it's just as simple as stopping that negative self-talk, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you've heard this, everybody's heard this, that the amount of, if you really, like, if someone really did a study on how horrible people talk to themselves throughout the day, I mean, it's tremendous. It's crazy. So it's about being starting to get conscious. I had a new client the other day and I said, it's kind of like going to AA. When you go to AA, you've acknowledged, you're admitting there's a problem. You become conscious of the problem. So this work is all about, let's start looking at what are the issues so that we can actually look at them, because you can't go past, you can't be past something unless you go through it. So you got to do the hard work, you got to be in the muck. It's not fun, but I actually make it fun.
I love that. I love that. And well, let me ask you this. Did you manifest your own love story?
Yes. So in my book, which is right here, it's also behind me, anybody's watching, Manifesting. So I had been on a hamster wheel of, I don't know why, but I thought that, this is just an example from the book, I thought that having not the one-night stands, okay, I had one in my life, but having the booty calls, if I had a sleepover with some guy who booty called me, not some guy random, but a situationship, that we would bond and then he'd fall in love with me. That's Josh in quotes in the book. So after I got done with Josh, I realized that no, that's not how it happens. And the problem during the Josh situationship and other guy's time was that I was so fearful I wasn't going to find my guy. And having that desperation energy was actually just pushing him away. So once I decided I'm going to surrender, that's part of my book, it's one of the steps. Once I'm going to surrender, I'm going to trust the universe, I'm going to start enjoying my life, because like attracts like. If I'm in my joy and having fun, then this man will come in. So I started doing that. And then a few months later, I met my husband on match.com. There's no match.com. Well, I don't know if there is. This is 2011, so there's just apps now. But anyhow,
Match still exists.
dot com, the
Oh
website.
yeah, absolutely. We've
Yeah.
so many clients that are on it. We've clients on every site, but yeah, Match still exists. It's kicking.
I didn't know that dating, actually, like eHarmony, like actual websites still exist.
Yeah,
It
they
was just,
do. They
and
do.
people use them.
Yeah. I mean, even Bumble now you can do from a desktop. Bananas.
I love that. I
I
love that.
know. I love that. It's
Actually,
much easier as a dating coach because we are in our clients' messages and profiles, helping them to select and swipe on people and left swipe people that look ick and helping them compose messages. So yeah, we're in the weeds with people. So yeah, where I've got, like a control panel looks like NASDAQ in my office here of the different apps and the different sites and how we get in. So yeah.
well, this is good to know, because I personally, the reason why I liked the dating websites more than the apps is because, for instance, I could go in and put my preferences, and it was my evening activity. This was, I didn't meet my husband until I was 34. So this was like, I had lots of dating experience. So I would look forward to putting in my dating preferences, sometimes doing different cities, and just looking for this tall, dark, and handsome, smart, sweet, wonderful, fun, everything guy. And on the apps, you put in your preferences, but the apps don't really care. So maybe the websites, I'm gonna spread the word to my clients. Go on to go find that those websites again.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they're all around, and they all sort of more or less start to feel like each other at the end of the day. But remember, guys, online dating is the world's largest cocktail party. And look at those apps and sites as different rooms that you walk in and out of. So it's super interesting. How do we know? And I think we've been talking about this a little bit. You know, if you're playing the victim, if you believe everybody cheats on me, you're going to bring that into your life. Nobody likes me. I'm too old. I eat too many donuts, whatever it is. If you continue to berate yourself with that, so do you have people sit down and really think about, like, what are your negative beliefs about yourself? Like, how do we even know that? How do people know? Like, how do you just do that work? Is there a quick, easy, like, do you just write it down on paper? Like, what do you do?
Well, the way that I help them to realize what their negative narratives are is through storytelling. I ask them, tell me a story. What was the last, why are you currently hurting? What's weighing the heaviest on your heart right now? And so that's where we start. And so through those stories, whether it's their past relationship or something from their childhood or something from work, or who knows, whatever their stories are, that is how we dissect and we take out, well, what does this really mean? It's like peeling the onion. And so once we discover what the negative narrative is, that is how we can look at it. And an unresolved issue, we also find this out from triggering. When you get triggered by something, that's an unresolved issue. And
Oh, I
all of a
love
trigger,
that.
an unresolved issue is anything that disturbs our peace. So I think that before you know that, people might be defensive. I don't have any unresolved issues because it seems so deep and heavy, but it's just anything that's disturbing your peace. So that's how you identify it. And then we do the compassionate self-forgiveness, which
I
is an
forgive
amazing tool.
myself.
Amazing tool. You forgive yourself, yes.
I forgive myself. I love that.
But also, forgiveness is beyond powerful. And I had mentioned earlier the part of the self-love, the self-unconditional love, is also forgiving others in your life. You will be so free. It's like people keep themselves in jail with their ego. I'm not going to forgive this person. People don't realize how much having grudges, negative energy towards other people can affect their love life. But it's all connected because everything is energy. So you really want to be walking around in this heightened, high vibrational state of joy and peace and love, and not this negative energy.
Do you think we need to forgive everybody in our lives?
I think it's possible, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's harder for some than others, and there's certain situations that feel egregious, right? And yet you're right, it's like holding on to that anger and that bitterness. I think the old proverb is, holding the poison in your mouth, but expecting the other person to die. That's what holding that grudge and that anger is.
Yeah, it's only hurting you. And on a biological level, let's say, the amount of diseases that people get, I heard recently it's something like 85% of disease, whether it's cancer, Alzheimer's, anything like that, can actually be avoided if people's cortisol levels and stress was down, anger levels were down. We create dis-ease in the body. And so, once again, threaten yourself. If I keep carrying around this hatred, this negative energy, God forbid something might happen to me. So just keep threatening yourself and you'll be okay.
I don't want to die of Alzheimer's or a heart attack because I'm in cortisol.
Yeah. And it's easier said than done. Especially if there's someone in your life who let's say the reason why you aren't happy with them and need to forgive them, the behavior keeps happening. Like it's not like a sibling from childhood and then, it's easy to forgive them because they've stopped that behavior. If it is somebody in your life who continues, what I recommend is I understand with family it's harder, but to make those boundaries, distance yourself. You need to do what's best for you in this world. You need to protect and love yourself. I did this whole IG live the other day on self-care. It's protecting your happiness and well-being. You need to do whatever you need to do always, because life is short, to love yourself and protect yourself.
That's right. So if somebody's spewing toxic venom onto you, it's okay to say, not today, Satan, not here.
And if you have to, because it's a family member and it's a family event, Thanksgiving, whatever, if you need to be around this person, you can do this little, for the spiritual people out there, you can actually do an exercise before you are around somebody to protect yourself. Nothing less than love and light can enter my bubble. You can
Oh.
make a statement to protect yourself from negative energy.
Wait, say that again for the people in the back, Jamie. Tell us
So
how to do this.
I
How do we create
study.
that boundary?
Reason, so I studied spiritual psychology for 3 years after my master's degree.
I can tell. I love this.
Yes, I mean, my book, Manifesting, nothing less than love and light can enter my bubble. And the reason why I'm going like this with my hand for anybody who's watching is because let's say you have a sage spray, or even if you don't have sage spray, you kind of like make this imaginary bubble around yourself of protection, and it makes a difference.
Wow. So you protect yourself. Nothing less than love and light can enter my bubble.
Yep, nothing can permeate this baby.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. So what do you think about intuition and manifesting, and why do you think it's important to connect with your intuition when you're manifesting?
So in my book, I have a story about a girl, and she's in her front yard, and she's just sitting there up against a tree in her front yard. And her yard is filled with her family and her friends and society. Now, on the other side of the street, just across the road, the other house across the street, her neighbor basically, is this handsome man just waiting to meet her. But she can't meet him because she's so all the noise in the way. So when I teach intuition, it's about trusting yourself. You don't have to ask a million people. You don't have to, I use food. Let's talk about food again. If you're at a restaurant, this is how I tell people to actually start to practice their intuition. You always know what you want to eat at the restaurant. Just tune into yourself. You don't have to ask the waiter or waitress, because what they might like is different than what you might like. If your Aunt Betty has some sort of opinion about something about within your dating life, bless her soul, but it doesn't matter. Okay, so we need to start, once again, getting empowered to connect with ourselves. And this is all in service to, once again, bringing in the right person that is aligned with who we are. We are the experts of ourselves. And the way that I teach intuition is, and what it is, it's really just our connection with ourselves. So, for instance, when my clients have their first session, their homework is to make a list of 10 statements, I am statements. Because you need to get back to who you actually are. I am smart, I am sweet, I am fun. And they do this as a bedtime intention before they go to sleep at night for at least 33 days. Longer story, but anyhow. And it's in service to connecting with themselves, connecting to their intuition, strengthening their intuition so that they can show up as their authentic self to bring in the right person.
Okay, so I am statements, like rewire all that negative stuff. You know, we teach something, Jamie, and I was curious on your thoughts on this because we help people in our coaching practice at Smart Dating Academy to, I call it fix your picker, right? And so we're known for saying this. I can see you laughing. And my husband hates this term because he's like, oh, it sounds almost like sexual. I'm like, no, it's fixing your people picker. And how do you fix it? And if your picker is broken, there's nothing broken about you, right? It's just a thing because we're never taught how to date. We're not taught how to be in healthy relationships. So let's say you have a background where your picker is really off and you have chronically picked people that are avoidant or unavailable or narcissistic or cheaters or whatever it is. How do you? You know, people will say, I don't know that I trust my own instincts because every time I'm led back to the proverbial red flag. What do you tell them?
There's so much. I actually have an acronym for red flags, and it's avoid, because because you want to avoid red flags. It's if someone's arrogant, vain, out of control, insecure, or dishonest. That's just an example. Anyhow, so here's the thing. If it's not broken, don't fix it. If it's broken, fix it. Or psychosis, the definition, doing the same thing over, expecting a different result. If you keep dating the same person and it is a bad result, same type of person, you gotta change it up.
Get a dating coach, people. Get a dating coach. Get a therapist. Get something. Take a program. There's help out there. This is not 1990.
Oh no, there's so much help and also the accountability. Because a coach will say, well, let's bless your soul, but let's look at the common denominator. And maybe it's not all these fucked up people out there. And not that you're fucked up, but maybe there's some work that needs to be done. For instance, to start loving yourself more. Because the reason why the pickers are off is because you're basing it on fear. You're basing these choices on your negative narratives, on your unresolved issues, but not on the truth of who you are. So there's two things in life. There's love and there's fear. Give me any situation in life, any question we have, anything that we have to figure out what to do in life. Everything is love and fear. If you start living your life making the loving choice, what is the loving choice? You can knock around, you will never have another regret again. And I promise that. Like, if you are connected to your intuition and you make that loving choice for yourself, what is good for me? Now, I'm thinking of what somebody might be thinking. Well, how do I know what's good for me?
Right,
Okay, but
right.
once again, getting back to, and this is what I teach my clients, how to connect to your intuition. Once you are connected to your intuition, and we all have an intuition, just got to start practicing and start small, like at a restaurant. I was at a restaurant the other night and I was deciding between do I want so my husband and I we're getting a sweet pizza, like a barbecued chicken pizza, and then we were gonna get a salad also. And I literally did this exercise because I was deciding between should we get the Asian salad or the Italian salad? And so I closed my eyes and I was like, okay, this all is making sense right now because there's going to be the sweet in the pizza, so I'm going to want the savory in the salad. And it just took 2 seconds, but I did close my eyes. And I checked in. I was like, which salad do I really want?
That's amazing. You're like, hey, Jamie, wake up. What do you really
Yes.
want?
Check in. And also, the cool thing about intuition is that we know right away. If you really think about it with dating, okay? You go on a date, you get a sense from somebody. I don't care how strong your intuition is, how long you've worked in it or not, that sense is always right. You gotta trust it.
I love that. Yes. Absolutely. And once you really, I think, learn the steps, the system, learn to trust yourself, checking in is everything. Right? When
Everything.
I ask people that come to work with us and they'll delineate all of their prior relationships, right? And it's like bad, 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 bad. And I will ask a question like, when did you see the red flags? Almost, I would say 95% of the time, Jamie, they'll say, oh, they were there in the beginning. I just didn't see them or I ignored them. But it's very rare to me that when someone says this person was a bad person or a bad person for me, that they didn't sense the red flags right away. I have heard stories from my clients saying, walking down the aisle where they're father has them and looks at them at the top of the aisle and says, you don't have to do this. Like I t say that and I get full body chills. These are the stories I hear.
I know. Me too. And the thing is that if we all, this is why I wrote my book, because of course people are still going to make mistakes, but it will help them make less mistakes because it does teach you how to trust yourself and to live your life for you. People rationalize the red flags. They rationalize. Well, okay, well, so it's not perfect, but I know that things aren't supposed to be perfect. But there's a difference between, like I always say in a relationship, There's a difference between compromise and sacrifice. In a relationship, if you feel like you are sacrificing, that means you are outside, you are out of your integrity. It doesn't feel right. Versus compromise. Okay, so I don't like going to baseball games, but I'll go because it makes my husband happy. Whatever. You see that there's a heavy and then there's a light. So this is what I recommend to people if you are contemplating or even before you get into relationships so that you know this. The way to ask yourself, is this a compromise or is this a sacrifice? And if you are feeling like there's just a lot of sacrifices in the relationship, you're out of your integrity, it doesn't feel right, it's not right. If it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no.
I love that. Compromise or a sacrifice. Right. And people will say to that point, like, well, I just dealt with it because it was better than being single. And, relationships are hard, right? They're work. I'm like, but no, they relationships aren't supposed to be hard in quotes. And it's not hard work. Is it work? Of course. You need to work through when the chemistry changes to safe, secure love, right? And you're not falling out of love. It's just becoming a different kind of love. And you have to work to keep that balance. You have to work to maybe have the kinder response versus the chippy, snappy response that you might want to have in the moment. But it's not soul-sucking, soul-crushing work, to your point.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for saying that right there because we have a certain amount of energy every day. And if you feel like you like there's an energy vampire that is in your life at this toxic person that is sucking your energy and you're losing yourself, it's just not healthy. You
Yeah,
deserve more.
absolutely. And I like the baseball game analogy. Like, okay, would I rather be, home watching something on Netflix versus going to a Cubs game? Yeah, but you know what? I know when I get there, I'm going to have fun because I'm with my husband and he makes everything fun. Great. That's compromise. Sacrifice is if you never get to do what you want to do, right? Is that right?
Yeah, that's a great example. Or if there are cultural lifestyle differences in the relationship and you're moving towards whatever the person you're with wants to do more and just doesn't feel right. Or if someone you're with you don't trust and there's a reason to not trust this person and then you start rationalizing some infidelity or whatever it is. That doesn't, somebody that stays out till 5 in the morning. No, that's not cool. That is not cool. And you don't deserve it. And there are plenty of other people out there that will not do that to you.
Absolutely. Well, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you think would be really shifting for our listeners right now? I always love them to feel like, okay, I've learned these things and I can start to do this right now. Is there any last, Jamie's greatest hits that you want to drop on us?
Well, so I usually end with intuition. However, we just talked about that. So what's coming to me right now is I want to end with that there is somebody for everybody. And the cool thing about soulmates is
And
that
she
what
just closed her eyes, by the way, while she said that. Sorry to cut you off. I saw you do what you just said, which was really lovely, right? You're just like, I usually end with intuition. And then her eyes closed and she checked in with herself. So sorry, I just wanted to talk about how like beautifully like synchronous what you said to do and what you did just was.
So, our soulmates are facts. They're facts. They exist. What I've learned is that they are assigned to us. We actually pick them or assigned, it's a little unclear, before we come to this earth. And so, there's a term called beshert. It means
I
soulmate.
love that term. I think Yiddish words are the best words on earth, by the way.
And it's a real thing. And you are, what I believe is, you're connected with your backs, by your backs, together up there before you come here. And so you spend your life finding this person. So that helps to lift the stress and the pressure, the competition, because there is someone that is literally for you. And by doing this work, you can find this person.
Do you believe that there's one Bashar, or do you believe that there could be several?
Now, this is opening a little can of worms, however, because there are situations in life where there are a widow situation
Yeah.
and two people were crazily in love. So I think there are exceptions to the rule. I am 100% romantic. And I do believe that there's one that is the best match. Could you be happy with somebody else? Yes. I just said that in such a Chicago accent. Happy, happy. However, I do believe there's one best match. And when we have situations like a death, it was everything was already planned before we come here, so we need to trust that also. And God is always, I don't want to say God, universe, life is always on your
You
side.
can say God. I'm all down with that.
But this isn't religious. This is a spiritual conversation. It's not a religious
It's
conversation.
energetic.
Yeah, and a lot of times I do say life versus universe. Life gives us, okay. So anyhow, that's my point. The tattoo you need to get is that your soulmate is a fact. It's a fact.
I love
It's for
that.
you. It's not for anyone else. This person is for you, not for anyone else.
Oh, I love that. You know, at Smart Dating Academy, we always say, they call me the chief psychotic optimist of Smart Dating Academy because I say, love is out there for you. It's a when, it's not an if.
Yes.
Right? I've had my clients write it on red lipstick on their mirrors. And if it's men, put post-it notes everywhere. Love exists for me. It's a when, not an if.
That is beautiful, and I agree.
Well,
Yes.
amazing. Jamie, it was so great to have you on the show, and we will put a link to your awesome book, Manifesting, in the show notes. And thank you so much for like dropping your gems on us. This was great. I feel like I've learned something through you today. So thank you.
Oh, good. Well, this was a pleasure. Nothing makes me happier than teaching, sharing wisdom, and inspiring people. So, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
I'm going to forgive myself for eating chips and salsa in advance of tonight.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, smart daters, if you're ready to find the love of your life, remember, love exists for you. It's a when, not an if. Just push the button, go to our website, and schedule your session. I promise you, the lid to your pot is out there and they're waiting for you. Like Jamie said, maybe your lid is preordained and your pot is just looking for that one lid. So it's out there for you, and do something different today to make that happen because you've got the steering wheel of your dating and your love life. So with that, thank you again. And smart daters, until our next episode, we bid you farewell.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.